You're listening to Bernstein and Holmes.
I'm still stuck, Dan, in trying to figure out exactly what it is we do here. Right? Well, no, that part I've figured it out. There's fart jokes and mascots. That's all is going on here.
Bernstein and Holmes.
Fart jokes and mascots.
Middays 10 to 2. On 670 The Score.
It's football, mister.
Yeah, it is. Especially when we're talking blocking schemes and line play.
Hello, ladies.
We really could have done this music for the Aaron Judge segment as well.
Sexy baseball.
I feel inappropriate saying it out loud.
Well,
the 922 slugging of a 51 game. Right?
So when we have smart football people on, we can ask about what we see. We can ask about what certain analytic models are telling people and what the talk is around the league. Because football, like a lot of sports,
it's football, mister,
is a sport of where fashion matters. Not in the NBA, WNBA way necessarily of having your little runway stop and repeats as you head into the arena. But in what's hot and what's not when it comes to X's and O's.
You mean scheme?
We're not going to talk about scheme.
Yeah, we are. But you just talked about scheme.
Yeah, we are. Yeah, we are.
There are a lot of people who feel like when it comes to run games that, I mean, you know who we should run this by? I mean, now I'm thinking about it. Like if
Matt Forte?
Well, yes, he's one of the people. Mark Schlereth.
Yeah, good call.
We should run this by him
but
at
then
some
again,
point.
But we interested.
He came from the scheme of the Alex Gibbs.
Not just came from it. He's like one of
the avatar
Gibbs
yeah.
guys. He's one of the people that when you talk about belly stretch, cut back, and crack back on the lower leg of the tackle.
It was still
defensive
legal
end.
To do.
Yeah, it's though, not legal anymore.
Even though people
it's not
still,
even really moral.
Even though people still kind of try to do it anyway, and then they put their hands up like, I didn't do that.
I totally didn't try to take that guy's knee out.
I was nowhere,
I would never do that.
I was nowhere near that guy.
That guy has a knee? Roll. I didn't know he had knees.
So if you think about zone blocking and what zone blocking has done to standardize a lot of what we see from offensive line play about having athletic players who can maybe kick step their way outside, go to an area rather than necessarily remembering an individual assignment. What Cynthia Freeland of NFL Network told us was that she thinks, as happens, the pendulum is swinging back to something from our collective childhood.
On the field, I think you'll see the pendulum swing back to what we were trying to get away from before, right? You saw it a little bit last year. For a while, outside zone runs were like all of the rage. It was a Shanahan model, blah, blah, blah. But now you're seeing people run duo or ISO, which meaning like, run up the A-gap like you did in high school, right? Like, so the pendulum will always swing back and forth. So I think now it'll be a matter of who gets their players in a position where they have the right personnel to execute whatever the next fad is, which is very likely a swing back to a little bit more old school ways and a little less option-y, ways. But I will put a caveat there. We will have to do that after we suss out some of this stuff with between conference realignment and NIL happening at the same time in the transfer portal. What are the kids, what are the assets coming out of college that we can build into an NFL program?
I'm waiting to see how the bodies then change too, because we've seen with scheme changes come a different assessment of the balance between power and speed. And I know we keep saying bigger, stronger, faster, but at some point a coach and an athletic training staff is going to say, we want you on the stronger side of stronger, faster. We want you on the faster side and monitor things that way. If we're talking about A-gap runs and isolation blocks and a sledgehammer fullback, Corey Schlesinger up in there, Lorenzo Neal taking on a linebacker, then we're going to have some more old school football bodies.
I mean, it will be dictated by what comes out of the draft and what comes out of college. But I do think that those, like if you're I think there's like some like Fred Warner types on the defense will also be kind of where this thing's going to. It's just going to be like what do we have and how do we balance it out with its, you know, counterbalance. But it always is cyclical. So look for ISO Duo to make a comeback in places where they have the body type that can execute it.
Yeah, the idea offensive lineman climbing to the second level and targeting a linebacker. Yeah.
I mean, sometimes things just make sense. For example, forward movement is the most efficient. Run behind your strongest people.
Yes.
Run to where you can find light the fastest. I know it's not sexy. I know it's not the coolest thing ever. But will it get you yards? Then I'm good with it.
Well, especially short yardage, goal line situation stuff. Like, are you better off? I mean, and it depends on personnel, too. Are you better stretching out a defensive line and cutting it back, or are you
having Perry run over George Cumbie?
Well, I wasn't thinking that.
It is about mismatches. And a lot of times, like, you can find a more suitable mismatch strength-wise closer to the ball.
Ideally, the answer is both. The answer is have an offensive line capable of doing both.
You can do anything then.
And if that's the case, and you have guys that do have the athleticism to get outside and the strength, the power to execute these duo schemes, which are essentially double teams. It's almost always a strong side where rather than try to hit the backside backer and wipe him out, you're kind of allowing the running back to make a decision. And you give the running back a little bit of cover. You don't have to blast the guy out of the hole like you do in ISO. But if you have the proper double team to the second level, the running back, if he has the make you miss in the hole kind of wiggle, that can be incredibly effective.
Well, and that goes back to what we've talked about with which positions have suddenly become fungible in the NFL. That requires a little more skill out of a position you may have deemed not that important as a front office. It talks about what she says, Cynthia Freeland, when she discusses this as well. But we, I think, forget a lot of the time that a lot of the offenses that young players are used to that were created in college were made for offensive talent deficiencies or defensive talent deficiencies. The spread offense gets fast people out there quickly. It can cover up a bad offensive line, for example. If you don't have as much talent, you can get guys to run around and create some space. So to me, it's still dictated by what talent you have, but don't forget that you have the best talent at this level and you should be able to make your scheme reflected as well.
Well, the beautiful thing about football, and this is why I always recommend the book Blood, Sweat, and Chalk to people, is there's always an innovation offensively that leads to a reaction defensively. And we've seen it since the history of the game. And sometimes that means that you go backwards.
Yeah.
And you say, oh, okay. So like one of the things that's happened over like the last 15 years in the game is the concept of hybrid defenders. Because the game has gotten faster, because coaches have gotten really good at using all of the field to make stuff happen. So you say, well, we can't have like lumbering Phil linebackers anymore.
What's wrong with Phil? I like Phil.
F-I-L-L, oh, not Phil, P-H-I-L.
Yeah. Oh, Phil linebackers.
So, yeah.
They're playing the Cubs at Wrigley.
They are, and they're probably going to win. So then you started looking at some of the guys, and we had a chance to look at maybe the best example of a hybrid defender in Brian Urlacher. And then you say, okay, well, what's our counter to that? Well, why don't we get heavier up front? And why don't we say, all right, Brian Urlacher, can you take on a double team from two guys that are 320 pounds?
And or if you're going to buzz backward as the mic, if your first move...
I loved him in Toy Story.
Now we have Phil linebackers and Buzz backward. So
I think they play the Cubs after the All-Star break.
How do you eat
they're
up that...
They're going to win, too.
How do you take advantage of eating up that cushion, then? If you're going to willingly vacate this space, it was one thing when they did... What was it? 700 pounds ass?
Yes.
That was one way
Ted
of saying...
Robinson
just Tuesday for me.
Ted Washington.
Ted Washington and
Keith Traylor.
Keith Traylor.
Which was modeled after,
God, I love Keith Traylor.
After Siragusa and Sam Adams.
And then you say, like, okay, you're doing this, so we're gonna do this. Oh, you're doing this, then I guess we're gonna do this. That's the beauty of the game. And you end up back in these places of looking backwards for inspiration. And you end up finding it. So now you look at the way that defenders are set, and I'm glad she brought Fred Warner because I think that he's a good example of everything you want in a linebacker, but right. He is a guy that is going to come up and he can fill a gap and make a play. But he's not just cannon fodder. There used to be a lot of Sam linebackers were cannon fodder.
Where your entire job was just lower your shoulder.
Mess it up. Mess up the play.
Or engage and a stalemate is fine.
Yeah. I used to talk with Hunter Hillenmeyer about this all the time because he played Sam for a lot of those years because you had your crazy athletic middle linebacker and your crazy athletic will linebacker. And Hunter was kind of the garbage man. Like, I'll be the guy that blows up the play on this side or tries to play on a stalemate. I know I'm giving my body up to allow other guys to make plays. I love hearing some of this stuff. Like, I love, like, the idea of the creativity of, here's how we can take advantage. Why don't we overpower them? Why don't we give some of our guys, like, if I'm looking at it from a Bears perspective, in my mind, I'm already thinking about H-back behind Tevin Jenkins, short yardage, DeAndre Swift, getting 2 yards or getting in the end zone from 2 yards out. Let your guys be nasty. Give them an opportunity to say, how would you feel about winning this one-on-one battle? I'd feel great about it. I can't wait to drive this guy into the back of the end zone.
I mean, that's it for me. It's just efficiency and the concept of if something explosive is happening up front, the defense also has to commit to it, which means an opportunity is going to be there for you 5 yards out, 10 yards out.
That's some of what made me crazy about using David Montgomery in a zone scheme.
Because he is the, instead of making him the cutback guy, he is the straightforward guy
who,
that is impossible
hole,
to tackle.
Right, exactly. And then if you're going to have a duo block and then a linebacker, you say, here you go, now do what you do, rather than run sideways, get ready for all your moves, and pick a lane, stick your foot in the ground, and rip it back, like Le'Veon Bell, where Le'Veon Bell would just kind of have the ball, and he'd look, and he'd walk,
he'd
and he'd look.
He'd wait.
Yeah. 15-yard game.
And he'd wait, and then gone.
But he was also waiting for somebody to wear somebody down at the line of scrimmage. Like, that's...
Well, it helped that he had elite field vision.
That, too. I mean, that's, you know...
Wasn't he talking trash about Justin Fields a couple of days ago?
No, no. Well, he might have been, but he was talking trash about Adam Gase. Because he's like, we would do halfback dive out of shotgun on 2nd and 10 or 2nd and 7 or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
was it going? Like, what was that play supposed to do?
Yeah, because he ran routes for Justin Fields was talking.
Oh, no, no. He was talking about Fields having the ball. He had a Justin Fields video where he was throwing to Steelers receivers, and he's like, man, that ball's coming out late as hell. And it's just routes versus air. Yeah, it was bad.
Well, I need to know more about this Adam Gase story.
Well, the completion of it was...
Is Adam Gase out of football?
Probably. To Google.
Apparently, the mentality for Gase was, Le'Veon, you just need to get like 4 yards and then we got a 3rd and manageable. Like, that's so stupid, dude. 2nd and long runs are the worst play in football, period. Don't ever do it. What drove me crazy about Luke Getsy, because he did it all the time.
Well, the problem
running
was,
on 2nd and 10 is stupid.
Well, the problem was what happened on 1st and 10.
Well, that was stupid, too.
That doesn't mean, just because your first down play failed doesn't mean you give up and run it on 2nd and 10. No, you got to throw on 2nd and 10. I don't care what the defense thinks you're doing.
What if we're throwing to a koala?
What?
I don't... You're just trying to trigger me?
Yes, I'm just trying to trigger you.
Adam Gase has been out of football, at least at the professional ranks, for 5 years. But his last job, according to Wikipedia, was interim general manager.
Of?
The Jets.
Oh, I thought it was like Arby's or something. Okay.
All right. What's he doing? What are you doing? I don't know what he's doing. He's
I need to know where you are.
46 years old.
I need to know where you are, Adam Gase.
We have High Noon coming up next.
Oh, he attended Broncos practice last year.
Awesome.